Romans chapter 1, from verse 8 to verse 17. In these few paragraphs, we have Paul leading up to his major discourse, which he will open properly in verse 18. These words lead him into that discourse. First of all, he thanks God, as he says, through Jesus Christ, for all the believers in Rome. Why? Because he's heard of their faith, and their faith in Christ has been reported all over the world. And he can say, in very strong terms, God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness that he remembered them constantly in his prayers, at all times. And he's hopeful, desirous. He has no expectation, in a sense. He's not certain it will happen, but he hopes that it may be God's will for him to go to Rome at last. He's been longing to go, he says, for some considerable time. I don't want you to be unaware, brothers, that I've planned many times to come to you, but things have stopped me. I've been prevented from coming, but I hope I can come now and meet you in Rome. Just shows us, you know, that these people who seem to be privy to God's will in every respect, knowing all about everything that God is planning to do, they're quite wrong. Even the apostle didn't know. He prayed, he hoped, he longed, and eventually he would get to Rome, but in a very different way to what he might have imagined. There's a lesson there for us all, I'm sure. But the thing which strikes me is, why did he want to go to Rome? Was it to see the sights and take some photographs and buy the postcards? To have meals in the right restaurants and all that kind of thing? And to have all the guided tours? He wasn't interested in the buildings or the state pomp or the court ceremonies, nothing like that at all. It's quite clear what he wanted. He wanted to preach the gospel among them in Rome. Verse 11. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. I want to be a means of blessing at Rome. I want to come, he says. And my plan has been, my hope has been, my prayers have been that I can come in order that I may have a harvest among you, a spiritual harvest, verse 13. Just as I've had among the other Gentiles. Verse 15 and 14 and 15, I am bound both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel unto you, also to you who are at Rome. He wants to preach the gospel there, that he might have some effect for good amongst these believers in Rome. Do you notice that? It's preaching the gospel for believers. Don't run away with the idea that the gospel is for sinners, unbelievers, but we have gone to deeper things. The gospel is the whole counsel of God, Christ in all the scriptures. And that's what he wants to do, preach there. And that doesn't mean only in a pulpit, of course. It means in conversation, in speaking with the believers, and being among them, and have a harvest. But here is another point. Well, there's several points here. How are we going to get benefit? It's by God raising up powerful preaching of his gospel among us. But it's not just pulpit work. Indeed, he says himself, the spiritual gift that I want to make you strong, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, verse 12. Mutual encouragement. The notion that the pastor does all the building up, allowing the existence of the pastor for the sake of this discourse. The idea that the preacher just builds us up is nonsense. There's mutual encouragement. There's interplay between the believers. I want to receive from you. I want you to receive from me. I want us to receive from each other. God's Spirit to minister to us in the preaching of the gospel. I want you to preach to me. Converse with me. We want to share. I want to share with you in the gospel. And this will produce a harvest. Where am I spending my time putting these discourses up on the web? Where do I write my books? I want to be a means of blessing. How can I do that? By preaching and declaring and presenting and explaining and proclaiming the gospel of Christ himself. that will produce spiritual harvest. What is that? Glory to God, we hope. That's the first thing. Spiritual edification, reproof, rebuke, correction, encouragement, instruction for believers, and of course salvation for sinners, conversion for sinners. That's why I want to come, he says. Mutual fellowship. This challenges today's idea that we go and sit under a pulpit and listen to a man, then walk out. No, no. It's mutual, sharing, edification. That's why I'm so eager, he said, to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome, who are at Rome. There's no other way of blessing. It's the preaching of the gospel. And then he comes really to, in his opening remarks of his discourse. The discourse properly will start in verse 18. But I am not ashamed of the gospel. That's a euphemism. That's a litotes. Not ashamed. I'm confident of it. I glory in it. I boast in it. God forbid that I should glory, boast, brag, save in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Galatians that, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Why should I glory in it? Because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. He says to the Corinthians, my preaching, I want it to be in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's what I want, my friend. Not just eloquence. Not a clear discourse. Not clear explanations. We want all that, of course. But we want power. God's Spirit. Fire. Life. Vigor. Gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Jew and Gentile. First for the Jew. Yes. He went to the Jew first. And then to the Gentile. Because the Jews refused it. The Jews rejected Christ. He came to them first, but the world, he came to the world as well, but the world didn't recognize him. But he came to the Jews, and the Jews did largely, by and largely, didn't receive him, rejected him. They crucified him. But he came again in the preaching of the gospel. Begin at Jerusalem, he said. Jerusalem. And then, but then it spread out to the Gentiles, because the Jews persecuted the believers and so on. And it went into all the world. Nevertheless, the Jew first, then the Gentile. Why? Because in the gospel, there's reasons for my argument, he says. I want to preach the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. We don't have to work our own righteousness. We can't work it. We are sinners. Even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, as Isaiah the prophet said. No, no, no. God has revealed his righteousness. Of course, that's in Christ. And how do we receive that righteousness? By faith, from first to last. How do we receive sanctification? How do we receive assurance? How do we receive glory, liberty? Oh, it's all by trusting Christ and looking to Christ. It's through Christ, by faith, from first to last. As it's written, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith. It's all in faith, my friend. Oh, these are tremendous themes. Believer, you began by faith. Are you looking for your assurance by law? You won't get it. By works? Oh, hopeless. Your works are never good enough, I'll tell you that now. No, never. Are you looking for sanctification by law? Hopeless. Hopeless. Christ is all. A righteousness from God is revealed. That's justification, they say. Yes, the righteous, though, shall live, will live by faith. That's sanctification, if ever there was. Is all by faith, from first to last. Liberty, glory, joy. I had an email this morning from a friend, and he was saying something which struck a chord with me, because I felt it myself. He said, the longer I go on, he said, the less I understand, the less I understand. And I've come to the same place. I had to realize that I'm not an understander. I'm a believer. A believer. Just a believer. I want to live and work and die in faith. We're not saved by understanding. We're not sanctified by understanding. We're not assured by understanding, as it were. It's all by faith we receive everything from God through Christ by the Spirit. Unbeliever, your need is Christ in the gospel. You don't need religion. You don't need sincerity and good works and law and sacraments and baptism and all the rest of it. What you need is Christ. What Paul's saying here straight away, do you want to know what the gospel is? I tried to say that in yesterday's discourse. The gospel is Christ. What makes this man tick? The gospel. Christ. That's why he wanted to go to Rome. He wasn't a tourist, a rubberneck, with eyes on stalks looking at buildings and great trappings. He wanted to be amongst the believers and speak for Christ and live for Christ and converse for Christ, because he knew that in preaching Christ, the gospel, sinners would be saved, the saints would be edified, and God would be glorified. That's what made him tick. I like to hope, I really believe it to be true. That's what makes me tick. And in the midst of all our busy lives, my friend, I know some of you will have children and families and business to run and all sorts of things, but even in the midst of all our cares and concerns, our chief end is what? To glorify God in Christ, to mutually help the saints, to grow in grace ourselves, and to bring, if we can, by God's grace, the gospel to sinners, so that as many possible of unbelievers will hear of Christ and come to trust him, serve, love, and live by him. Well, that's the opening remarks. Now we're going to plunge into the gospel. God willing, we should take it up in the next discourse with the way he opens the gospel. And even from his first words, his opening remarks, we know the seriousness of what he is saying. But let me just close with this. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Any Jew listening to me, it's come to you, my friend. Come to Christ now. Any Gentile, come to Christ. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it's written, the righteous will live by faith.